I'd like to speak on the idea of three benefits of celebrating the Lord's Supper. And you are free to disagree with what I'm sharing today. But if you disagree with me, I want you to give me the courtesy of a biblical reason. Is that fair enough? Becky just read to us out of Matthew 26. And I would like to refer you back there again to this evening that we call the Last Supper, which is of itself a misnomer because there is no Last Supper for Christ. There is another meal planned that we think of as another supper or a dinner, more appropriately phrased. And we celebrate that in the earth made new, a table that appeared to be miles long, sitting around that table are God's people redeemed from all the ages. But it is true that Jesus said he would not eat of the fruit or drink of the vine. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I'd like to suggest today, yes, three benefits from celebrating the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of humility. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we engage in the highest form of worship. I don't know of any other part of our liturgy or of our worship purpose that is higher or more elevated in God's eyes than that which brings us together this day. This is not a ritual that we do in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In one sense, it is a sacrament. But really, it is at the command of God and the invitation of God that we gather regularly on a scheduled basis to be reminded of God's gift to us in the shadow of the cross. And so, if that be true, if one of the benefits to celebrating the Lord's Supper is that we engage in the highest form of worship, well, then we would hasten to say that God must be in this place. That whenever God's people gather for this service, and the elder prays the blessing for the bread or on the wine, it is a special, unique moment in the record books of the universe. It is a unique time for the Holy Spirit who is here, who has promised to be here at every communion service. We engage in the highest form of worship. You come to meet with God. He is here in this room. He is here on this pulpit. I believe a mighty angel is standing here beside me now. I believe there are angels sitting, positioning themselves in this room now. There is no higher level or form of worship found anywhere in Scripture than that which you are engaged in at this very moment. That should place a sense of reverence on what we are doing. I beg you today, when we enter the rooms that have already been set up by others with the towels and with the buckets of water and the pans for water, you should reserve your conversation for that which is holy and good. You should not talk about trivial things, even as I have done this morning concerning the weather. But let your conversation be that of a high order of thankfulness to God Almighty for this wonderful high level of worship that you've been invited to engage in this day. Another benefit from celebrating the Lord's Supper and having a part in the ordinance of humility is that it also represents the highest level of love and service for your fellow man. What you do today with your partner in the washing of feet engages the two of you, yes, in the highest level of active love in the worship service. You are giving and you are taking from that person. As you give in the simple lifting of water and the covering of the feet with that water. And that's really how I was taught to wash feet as a young man. Is you dip your hands into the pan, both hands, and you cover the feet with the water and with your hands, as if to symbolize a complete covering or a complete giving of service with your hands to that person. But you know, it extends out beyond just that person. Whoever's feet you wash today represents your willingness to give of yourself for not only that person, but for all the people in the world that person represents. That person sitting before you is representative of the whole kingdom of God scattered across the world everywhere. I'm telling you, this benefit represents the highest level of love that you can have for your fellow man. If there's one thing this world needs right now, it is somebody to be actively engaged in acts of love. Call it kindness. It's not charity. It's a genuine care and concern for other people. And when you wash your partner's feet this day, there is no higher level of love that you could show other than this. The third benefit that we receive from being here today in this service is that we engage in the highest level of spiritual cleansing. The only thing that might surpass what we're doing here this day would be if you can go back in your memory and you remember the altar call, or you remember the profession of faith that you made, and you remember the time you were baptized. That would be the only occasion that I could think of today that might be a higher level of spiritual cleansing than what we're doing right here. When we come back into this auditorium and we try to skip every other pew so the deacons can have room to serve, when that deacon hands you the tray, he's not only giving of himself, but when you take from him that piece of bread or that cup of juice, the angels here record that your action here, and your action speaks to the very fact that you came in here with all the dirty filth of sin, but you leave this building, you are cleansed by the supernatural presence of God. It's not that the emblems do it for you, but they symbolize what the Christ of the emblems is doing here in this room. So when you partake of that wafer, I want to tell you a real quick story. I think I have a small throat. Big mouth, small throat. When I take the communion bread, I purposefully always look for a smaller piece. It's just me. I don't want to get choked up. I was at a church. They had asked me to have the communion service. And the only piece I could get was a much larger piece than normal. And so I took it. And guess what happened? As the serving clergy always says, "Will you please join me as we eat all of it?" I coughed to my left and I coughed to my right. I got choked up. But in actuality, that in itself is a genuine lesson. Some people, as they engage in this highest level of cleansing, spiritual forgiveness, that's what it is, have a difficulty swallowing the idea that it's really happened. Now, it's not because I say it. I promise you, not on any merits of me as an ordained minister of the gospel, not even because of the eloquent words of the elders who kneel here asking God to bless these emblems, not anything because of that, but because of the presence of God Himself and what He has placed on these emblems. It is already predetermined that if you eat with repentance in your heart and a sorrowfulness of sin, you are forgiven when you partake of this. It is the highest level of worship that we can receive in the church. And today, as you participate in the fellowship of the foot washing or in the partaking of the bread and the wine, on the basis of belief, I want each of us to leave here today with a rejoicing in our heart that God is the victor, that Satan is the enemy, and God's people win. And that today, God's people have won again in the celebration of the highest form of worship, in the highest level of expressing our love for fellow man, and also engaging in the highest level of spiritual cleansing, because we can truly say, "I am forgiven." I invite you to join with me today in prayer. Lord God, today, what a special, wonderful first day of the year you have given to us here. And for the reason that brings us here in the highest level of worship, oh God, we celebrate your life and your death and your soon coming. And as we eat this bread and we drink this wine, we show the Lord's death until you come. Grace what we do now with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the unseen angels, and let them carry glad tidings homeward. In Jesus' name, amen.